All praise to Thee, O God, our Creator and Maker. We come to worship Thee through song and prayer and reading of the Scripture and hearing the Word. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to Your presence. Help us to be attuned to Your voice, which speaks to us in many ways. Teach us Your ways of righteousness and loving kindness, and lead us in them. Teach us the true meaning of loving You, of loving ourselves, and of loving our brothers and sisters. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Be seated.
Our scripture passage from the Old Testament comes from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Then God said, "And now we will make human beings. They will be like us and resemble us. They will have power over the fish, the birds, and all the animals, domestic and wild, large and small." So God created human beings, making them to be like Himself. He created them male and female, blessed them, and said, "Have many children, so that your descendants will live all over the earth and bring it under their control. I am putting you in charge of the fish, the birds, and all the wild animals. I have provided all kinds of grain and all kinds of fruit for you to eat. But for all the wild animals and for all the birds, I have provided grass and leafy plants for food." And it was done. God looked at everything He had made, and He was very pleased. Evening passed, and morning came. That was the sixth day.
Our New Testament scripture lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Hear these words. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God."
Thank you. When I am 80 years old, I shall be a feisty old gray-haired woman. I expect to be so absolutely cantankerous that my friends and family will be forced to place me in a rest home. In those days, I hope that I shall have the presence of mind to reflect upon the course of my life. Even now, I know the subject of that future reflection, for my dream is that one day I may confidently say, I am human. It may appear that my ambition to become human is absurd since I am already Homo sapien, but I have observed that far too many men and women are not quite human. Humanity is highly underestimated by society. We commonly excuse ourselves by saying, we're only human, when actually we are at fault for being inhuman. My perspective rejects society's negative assessment of humanity in order to affirm that humanity is good. Genesis 1, verses 26 through 31 supports my claim. By the sixth day of creation, God had made heaven, earth, lights, water, vegetation, birds, fish, and beasts as a prelude to the creation of man and woman. Creation anticipates the arrival of the human who will be charged with dominion or stewardship of the earth's resources and multiplication or propagation of the human community. Calling upon the royal imagery suggested here in Genesis and in Psalm 8, humanity could be called the crown of creation. At this climax, God's creating acts were completed, and God surveyed and assessed the cosmos. Only when humanity was created could it be said, God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. I take as my authority God's pronouncement that humanity is good. God, from the beginning, was for humanity, not against it. In contemporary terms, God is pro-human. We might even say, God is the humanist. Humans became less than human in the fall by rejecting God's intention for creation. In a book called On Not Leaving It to the Snake, Harvey Cox suggests that the primary sin associated with the fall of humanity was the refusal to be human. Humans forfeited the responsibility that God assigned to them. Humanity was unwilling to delight in the earth and to live in reciprocity with fellow humans. Dominion was thereby transformed into domination and exploitation. The partnership of man and woman was distorted into a social hierarchy. I confess that I have participated in the sin of being less than human, for I am responsible for my own refusal to accept the divine intention for my life. Personal reflection has led me to identify three aspects of my sin. The first has been my rejection of myself. Phyllis Trible has said that woman's sin is failure to be a self. I fell into that trap by living according to others' expectations and rejecting my own gifts. Particularly, I refused to embrace the fact that I was born female. I rejected my feminine gifts. I had been taught to reject womanhood. My father had taught me not to display emotions by saying, in response to my tears, "Don't cry like a stupid woman." My father had rejected womanhood and communicated to me his fear and distress that one day his little girl would grow to be a woman. The perplexing thing was that not only was I taught to reject womanhood, but I was taught to reject the masculine or traditionally masculine characteristics that were associated with me. It was not appropriate for a woman to embrace her strength and her intellect. There I was, stripped of emotions, feminine gifts, strength, and intellect. I really had no self left to claim as long as I followed society's expectations. This shortcoming of mine relates to the second sin of mine, and that was disruption of my fellowship and community with other human beings. My self-hate and self-contempt prevented my love of others. Paul Tillich has said that we have failed when we deny the importance of self-love, because when we have hate for ourselves, we can't really love others, we can only hate others. And until we overcome our self-contempt, we cannot overcome our contempt for others. So I might characterize then my disruption of community with others as twofold. First, I rejected the community of other women. When you grow up with such popular television shows as I Love Lucy, your feminine stereotypes become Lucy Arnaz and Ethel Mertz. They parodied women by reacting to a crisis through tears, by meeting problems with illogical solutions, and by being divisive and manipulative of their husbands and other men. Comes as no surprise that I wish to dissociate myself from women if that's what we expected women to be. It made for a very lonely life because I had sacrificed an important thing, and that was sisterhood with other women. I had also disrupted, however, my community with men. My guilt was so burdensome that I had shifted my blame to men. Men were the enemies. I had not realized that my freedom was essentially my responsibility, not that of the men who had oppressed me or taken advantage of me. I sacrificed as well here also because I had lost partnership with men. My third aspect of sin was my refusal to be God's new creature. And I think this is the key aspect and the clue to understanding how I could overcome the first two aspects of my shortcomings. I had accepted Christ, but my faith was too small to really believe that Christ's creative transformation could make me a new creature. In refusing to believe in Christ's power, I had refused also to hear my call to the ministry. I had too much doubt in what God's power could do, especially with a woman. In reflecting on 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21, I think I've come to understand a little more of what it means to be God's new creature. The passage says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." In other words, I came to understand that this new creation was not a future event, but whenever and wherever we are in Christ, we are already that new creation. In Christ, my inadequate humanity is already gone and replaced by the newly human. Once again, I may affirm that humanity is good indeed. This new creation has come from God through Jesus Christ. God in Christ reconciles the creature with God the Creator. Once again, we are in fellowship with God. God has gone to this tremendous effort to reclaim the humanity which God knew to be good all along. We may also relate as a seminary community to the ambassadors of Christ, which are mentioned in this passage. Surely, we also identify with the call to proclaim this new creation to others, this reconciliation. We are in a situation here at this seminary to truly understand what it means to be reconciled to God and proclaim on His behalf, together as fellow ambassadors, what that means. I think the obvious conclusion of being reconciled to God is being reconciled with one another. And I hope that we may learn to live out that message. My extended example of being less than human has reflected primarily upon women's experience. But refusal to be human is a universal weakness. Women have been fortunate enough to begin the process of analyzing their dehumanization. Others in our community, however, are continuing to experience inhumanity. If we look around our campus, we see some who are handicapped. They have been ignored or treated as helpless and useless. Some of us are divorced, and in that case, we are considered not quite whole because our other half is no longer with us. Surely I identify with the Black community here on campus because they have experienced the most severe oppression and rejection. Perhaps the most tragic loss of all is that the white males on campus are trapped into rejecting emotions, tenderness, and vulnerability, and not permitted to be quite human. In fact, we're all trapped by a system which cripples our abilities to be fully human. I must affirm that none of us will be free until all of us are free. I think that's what we need from the idea of reconciliation in the new creation. I'd like to call us this morning to accept the new humanity. Each one of us is responsible for examining the causes of inhumanity as they are present in each life. We have to ask, why am I less than God intended? Why am I less than human? It's up to us to recapture a vision of the new humanity. We must live prophetically that vision. And at times, that means being a misfit. It means being rejected all over again. But if we are to be prophets and ambassadors for Christ, this is necessary. We're going to close our worship now with a litany of celebration of the new humanity. It's a challenge to us to become those new creatures. The litany will be distributed to you at this time. And Paul and Lila Stinnett will lead us as the male and female liturgists.
Would you stand as we read the litany?
We as women are strong. We as women are powerful. We as women can do things. We need to be more in touch with our strength, our power, and our capabilities. We need to be free to be ourselves. We need not stifle our God-given talents.
The gospel is liberation.
We don't have to stay in our place.
The gospel frees us from the law.
Jesus broke law and tradition in his treatment of women.
When you are free, then we are freer. We don't have to prove our manliness. We don't have to prove our natural superiority. We don't have to claim anything. We need to be more in touch with our tears. We need to be free to be ourselves. We need to discard our masculine role and discover who we really are. We are free to share our responsibilities. Jesus challenged the status quo.
Jesus calls us to full humanity.
We reject the notion that one sex should build bridges and the other keep the home. We reject the idea of proper roles, for roles belong to the realm of the law and freedom belongs to the gospel. We believe the words of the New Testament that in God's time and place, there is no male and female, no mankind or womankind, no manhood or womanhood, but simply humanhood, simply God's people. We can and will be more human. We will find ways of being men and women together. Let us pray. Father, you are calling us to a higher vision. But Lord, this vision has an uncharted course, and it's full of uncertainties. In fact, the only certainty that we have is that you are with us all along the way. Help us as we face our fears. Make us able to put our fears aside so that we can look at this new vision and give us understanding and love as we walk ahead this day. Now, Lord, may your light so shine on us that it reflects on everyone we see. In Jesus' name, amen.